Well, good morning, all. It's the 12th of July, 2020, Anno Domini. And we are going to, as we always do, on the Lord's Day, at the time of our worship and our praise and our scripture reading, we're going to open with a vigorous Holy Spirit anointed prayer. And our prayer leader this morning is Mrs. Kathy Lear.
Holy Father, Father of all things, we bow our hearts to you today. We bow our hearts in thanks for the many, many things that you do for us, for the ways that you lead us and you teach us, the way that you provide for us, the way that you teach us to be independent in the sense that we're not lazy, we work hard, we work for the support of our families and our communities, and you give us the strength and the power to do everything that we need to do, that you desire us to do. And Lord, in this summertime, when oftentimes families are gathering for reunions and a variety of other things, this year, because of the virus and other things that are going on, rightly and wrongly, there's not as much of that happening. So we rest in our beautiful memories of our families, for those of us who are not able to gather. And we thank you for this country, the country that you've given us to steward, and all of its greatness therein. No greater than you, but as great as we are in bringing honor to you, is how great our country will be. And Lord, we thank you for this day of worship, this day set aside to honor you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be our teacher today as Pastor Lear brings us this message. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Amen. Well, let's sing some scripture, shall we? And let's sing with all of our hearts and with our voice. Let's raise our voices to the Lord. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Now let's sing it a little bit differently. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of you, Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress. My God, in you will I trust. And I will say of you, Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress. My God, in you will I trust. My God, in you will I trust. My God, in you will I trust. Just remember that when you find yourself in a difficult circumstance, And by the way, even if you aren't, and these days most all of us are in difficult circumstances, but even if you aren't, you're still going to give your praise to the Lord and give your trust anyway, because if you aren't in a difficult circumstance yet, I can guarantee you, you will be. Come into His presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and give Him praise, and give Him praise. Come into His presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and give Him praise, and give Him praise. Give glory and honor and power to His name, Jesus, the name above all names. I come into Your presence with thanksgiving in my heart and give You praise, and give You praise. I come into Your presence with thanksgiving in my heart and give You praise, and give You praise. Give glory and honor and power to Your name, Jesus. Your name's above all names, Jesus. Your name's above all names. Remember that when you're praying, pray as if you are in the presence of the Lord, because you are. And I don't care whether you're praying at your dining room table, thanking the Lord for the meal, like saying grace, you might say, or in public or whatever, pray as if you are in the presence of the Lord, because you are in the presence of the Lord, and we want other people to know that. We're not just being formalized and religious, we're actually recognizing a fact. The Lord is here. The Lord is with us. And Jesus is Lord. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand. I come, I worship, I bow down, and I kneel before the Lord God, my Maker. I come, I worship, I bow down, I kneel before You, Lord God, my Maker. For You are my God, and I am a person of Your pasture, just a sheep of Your hand, just a sheep of Your hand. Sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. For our God is great and greatly to be praised. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. Sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. For our God is great and greatly to be praised. O God, You are great and greatly to be praised. And when you sing the song, even if you've sung it before 100 times, sing it like it's a new song, like you never heard it before, like you never sung it before, and sing it with that kind of enthusiasm. You wonder why some people don't want to join in to church service and join in and worship or praise, because, hey, it sounds like a funeral dirge to a lot of people. I do know that there are songs that are very quiet and contemplative, but I also recognize that God's people should be ready to give the victory shout The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad that our God reigns. A fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord. The Lord reigns. A Lord reigns. A Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. The heavens declare his righteousness. The people see his glory. For you, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth. Over all the earth. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. The true God reigns. Jesus reigns. Give the Lord a clap offering this morning. Thank you, Jesus. When you think about this, the people see his glory. Have you seen the glory of the Lord? If you haven't, I feel truly badly for you. I'm sorry about that. So sorry about that. I'm going to continue to dwell in his presence, and I'm going to show you the glory of the Lord as I see him. He wants to show himself to you also, if you will let him. But if you don't, the people see his glory. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. How wonderful it is when you get to do a worship service outdoors. Like on May 16th, when I led worship and praise and preach from the state capitol steps in Concord, New Hampshire. What a glorious day. Or last Sunday when I preached at Heading Camp, a message in the tall timbers of the open air amphitheater, you might say, of the Heading Camp meeting. What a glorious joy. Well, today, at the request of my patriotic wife, the patriot pastor's wife is very patriotic. She's a very godly woman, very Christian woman, and I am blessed to have her as a wife. And she requested we sing this, this being a week after 4th of July, but we're still in the 4th of July mode, you might say, folks. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. And by the way, in case you haven't seen it in history, and I being the proponent of American history and studied it throughout my life of over 7 decades, 400 years of American history, it is a beautiful country, and America has been blessed. So we're not just hoping and praying for a blessing. America has been blessed. But here's my challenge today for you, America. Are you listening? America, bless God. God has blessed America, the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ, has blessed America already. Now, America, I want you to bless God. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray as we go to my quips and quotes for this week. As I always tell people, pay attention. Why? There's going to be a test. May not be me the one administering the test, but believe me, the test is going to come. Support clarity, confidence, and courage. I've spoken this to many of our leaders and prospective leaders. Support clarity, confidence, and courage. Every child in America should be acquainted with his own country. He should read books that furnish him with ideas that will be useful to him in life and practice. As soon as he opens his lips, he should rehearse the history of his own country. Noah Webster, 1788, who gave us our first dictionary of the American language, a great patriot of the Revolutionary War, and who definitely knew what he was talking about. And so important today, why do I tell people, get your kids out of the government school? It's an indoctrination camp with the wrong doctrine. It also turns out that they don't even teach American history, and they're teaching kids to grow up with a hatred for their country. That's like saying, I'm going to teach my kids to hate their father and mother. I'm going to teach them to hate their teachers. I'm going to teach them to hate everything that's right. But that's what's going on. It's a communist Marxist agenda, and it's an antichrist agenda. We are heart and soul friends to the freedom of the press. It is, however, the prostituted companion of liberty, and somehow or other, we know not how, it's efficient auxiliary. Fisher Ames, 1807. Fisher Ames, of course, was one of the people who wrote the First Amendment. And of course, freedom of press is part of the First Amendment. And so what he's talking about? He's talking about what we see today in the faux press. F-A-U-X, which of course in French means false. Acquisitiveness, rivalry, vanity, and love of power. Do you know anybody that that describes? I know all too many people, particularly people in government positions and positions of authority in business, and yes, in church and other places too. Anyone who has ever agonized in the hands of a petty bureaucrat, something Hannah Arendt, who is basically a philosopher and a poet, unforgettably censured as a special kind of violence can attest to the veracity of this sentiment. And believe me, folks, I have seen this special kind of violence from the hands of petty bureaucrats. Many times, the one that pops into my mind is when Governor Craig Benson appointed me to the Abstinence Task Force, and we saw that petty bureaucrats worked against the governor and our commission to subvert what we were trying to do, help Planned Parenthood and all the other gay, lesbian, transgender, all those people, their organizations, help them against us. And basically, what were we teaching? Abstinence only. And we're teaching about sexually transmitted diseases and so forth and so on. And we got thwarted by petty bureaucrats. That's a special kind of violence, and you probably don't think about that, but it is. Do you know what malum prohibitum is? Malum prohibitum. This means that smoking in public is only a crime because those who write the laws say it is. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I don't like smoking. I don't smoke. It makes me feel sick when I smell it. And I really don't want to be around it. I don't want to sit in a restaurant and have smoke blown in my face or around me. I won't enjoy the meal. But when somebody makes a law against it, there's a difference here, and listen to what I'm saying. This is different than malum prohibitum. This is different from malum inse, which is a crime that is inherently wrong, such as rape or murder. Let's be honest. Most of the hassles in life don't come from keeping the laws of God. No, most of my headaches come from keeping the laws of man. The purpose of God's law is self-restraint, while man-made law is government restraint. So think about that as we are seeing more and more government restraint and more people saying, I'm off the wall because I want people to obey God's law first and foremost before they're willing to obey man's laws, many of which have been made erroneously against God's law. And just like we can say, if it's not constitutional, it's not law. If it's not God's law, wouldn't be constitutional and wouldn't be right. I can make a whole seminar out of that. We have traded the Ten Commandments of God for the 10,000 commandments of government. Tell the truth now. Do you really think that that's a good trade? Well, I'll voice my opinion. No, I don't think it's a good trade. I consider the government of the United States as interdicted by the Constitution from intermeddling with religious institutions, their doctrines, discipline, or exercises. Thomas Jefferson, 1808. That's what the 501c3, the IRS, the Johnson Amendment, and so forth does. And we're seeing more of that when our governor says that churches are not essential, but Planned Parenthood is. Come on, people. Industry has increased, commodities are multiplied, agricultural manufacturers flourish, and herein contains and consists the true wealth and prosperity of a state. Alexander Hamilton, 1790. It is impossible for the world to be governed without God and the Bible. What preacher said that? Garrett Lear said that. But George Washington said that. And he wasn't a preacher. Or was he? Do you know what bar mitzvah means? Because that's Hebrew. It is a Jewish coming of age ritual for boys, whereas bat mitzvah is the Hebrew, a Jewish coming of age ritual for girls. before the child reaches bar mitzvah age. Pay close attention to this, because I just myself became understanding of what this means, that being bar mitzvah, it becomes a boy of the commandments. And of course, we're talking about the Torah. A young man of the Torah. That's what they're confirming. A young man of the Torah, or a young girl of the Torah. But listen to this part. Before the child reaches bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah age, parents hold the responsibility for the child's actions. Do you know, in the Plymouth Colony, and I'll be soon teaching a seminar for Camp Constitution this year on the Pilgrims, one of the things is they held responsible when children were badly behaved. They held the children responsible, but they mostly held the parents responsible. Well, I'll tell you what, all these rioters throughout the country, their parents should be held responsible. They didn't raise their kids right. Now, we know when they become of age, they've had their bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, then they're on their own to make their own decisions, and we're not responsible for them. But the Plymouth Colony, interestingly enough, and you'll find that out, learned a lot from the Hebrew scriptures. You know, the guilt dies hard. A lot of things die easy, but guilt dies hard. Are you eagerly awaiting righteousness? And if you say no, then aren't you eagerly awaiting the arrival, the second coming, second advent of Jesus Christ? And while you're eagerly awaiting righteousness, how about allowing the Lord to make you righteous, and only He can do it, and sanctify you, separate you, set you aside? Our founders promoted equality of opportunity, listen carefully, but not equality of results. This fact is apparently lost on many of our modern day social prognosticators. Our founders and our Heavenly Father, equality of opportunity. And so if we're going to do anything to help anybody, we want to make sure that there's equal opportunity. But we cannot regulate the equality of results. That's like saying, okay, if I can run faster than you, you're going to tie my legs together so I can't run faster than you, and so you can win the race and we get equal results. It doesn't make any sense. Do you know all lives are created equally? Not all lives. All lies are created equally by the Father of lies. And you know, we have a lot of misplaced tolerance in our society now. The very people that started this country, starting with Mayflower and the Puritans and the Pilgrims, leading through our founding fathers and so forth, they're being tossed overboard in this ship called America, so that we can pull on board people who hate the country and want to sink the ship. Does that make sense to you? Doesn't to me. Misplaced tolerance. I got a question for you. How did David defeat Goliath? Think about it. How did David defeat Goliath? In 1955, American Presbyterian missionary Francis Schaeffer observed in a letter, "No price is too high to have a free conscience before God." That's true. I hear this phrase often, "Oh, we were hanging on his every word. I'm hanging on his every word." Well, whose every word are you hanging on? I hope you are hanging on the Lord's every word, because those are the only words that you can hang on that will not hang you. I love to use those kind of parabolic teachings, you know. The Lord's word is the only word that will not hang you. Now today, take your Bibles in hand, and I will be drawing my message, my sermon today, from the fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs. The fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs. There are 27 verses in this chapter. I'm going to read the first 14, and Mrs. Lear is also going to read for us today, chosen to read for us today, will read the final 13, beginning at verse 1. Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. You may be reading from your King James Version, that's fine, or New King James Version, for that matter. If you're wanting to be a good pilgrim or Puritan, you'd read from the Geneva Bible, all of which I have in my possession. But today, English Standard Version. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And wherever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. That's chapter 4 of Proverbs, verses 1 through 14, English Standard Version.
And continuing on in Proverbs chapter 4 at verse 15. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. That was Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 through 27 from the English Standard Version.
Well, praise the Lord for the reading of His Word, and I want to tell you, I make no excuses for the Word of God. It is God's Word, and anyone that doesn't want to believe it, that's their problem, but it's not mine. This has been an exciting week for me, for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is this week, I was getting thumped pretty severely, consistently, from the homosexual, LGBTQI plus community, of how homophobic I am and how wrong I am and how hateful I am and so forth and so on. And I can laugh at that because it's not true. I'm not phobic of anything. My only fear, according to what scriptures tell me here, should be my fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom, by the way, and scripture points that out. And the fact that I am not hateful. I hate no one except the devil. I believe it's okay to hate the devil. I hate sin in any form, whether it's in me or anyone else. I hate it. Now, some people say there are some things they hate. They hate to eat broccoli, or they hate to eat beets, or they hate to eat this, or whatever else. You're just talking about saying you dislike something. But hating evil is something the Lord calls us to do. And today, briefly, because we keep these short so we can post them on the internet for the many people right now that are challenged and can't get out to us, and people across the country and parts of the world who want to listen to it, I'm going to call this the four gets of Proverbs. Not the four gets. The four gets. F-O-U-R. And of course, here in the English Standard Version, it's actually the five gets. But we won't go there for this moment. In the King James translation, it's the four gets. There are four mentions of the word get. And I'm saying these are four gets. And let me clarify by saying, but do not forget. F-O-R-G-E-T. Do not forget. The chapter of Scripture opens up with a father reminding his son, do not forget. I gave you a bat mitzvah. When I was responsible for your actions, I taught you what was right. I was responsible for what you learned and what you did. Don't forget that. But do remember the four gets. The four gets. And it's emphasized what are actually the four gets that are mentioned here. There's four times get is mentioned in King James. It says, get wisdom. It says it again, get wisdom. My mother used to send me to the store as a boy on my bicycle. I had baskets on my bicycle. And I remember going to the little general store in Northampton on the seacoast here. And she said, okay, don't forget, here's a dollar. Go to the store. I want a pound of butter, a loaf of bread, a quart of milk, the newspaper, and with the change you can buy yourself some penny candy. But she said, don't buy the candy first and forget the bread and the milk and the butter. Yes, Mama, I won't forget. And I did look at the candy counter first, I admit it. Mary Jane Squirrel Nuts, sugar babies, all that kind of stuff. I looked at it first, but I didn't buy them first. I said to the Bunny across the counter, I said, "Bunny, my mom sent me here." She said, "I know." And she wants a quart of milk, a pound of butter, a loaf of bread, and the newspaper. I said, "Okay." And I handed her the dollar, and she said, "Okay, you have whatever it was, 8 cents left. You get 8 candies, or 5 cents left, or whatever it was." And I got the candies. So the idea is, this father is telling his son, "I trained you, I taught you, I showed you what is right. Don't forget what I've taught you." Well, America, I want to tell you, don't forget what our founding fathers have taught us. And they taught us from the Bible. They taught us and put these things in our foundational documents. Don't forget all these things that they put down, whether it's Mayflower or the Mayflower Compact, all these others. Don't forget these things. Get wisdom. Get understanding. And in the English Standard Version, understanding is translated as insight. It's wonderful to have wisdom, but understanding. And what is the understanding that we must have? First of all, I can tell you as an American, I hope that most Americans have this understanding. America has been a blessed country. America has been greatly blessed of the Lord. Understand that and why we have received that blessing, where that blessing came from. Understand that. Be wise enough to know that and understand that. And so when you get wisdom, you have to have an understanding or insight. And here's the part where the understanding, knowing how to implement wisdom, where to implement it, how to bring it, who to bring it to. I found in life, helping the poor, which I've done throughout my life, even as a child. Many times, many poor people, as Jesus said, "The poor you always have with you," because in many cases, the poor don't know how to be anything but poor. So we need to help them. We need to have the wisdom and the understanding how to help them in a way that's really going to help them rather than keeping them poor and keeping them destitute and keeping them under thumb, so to speak. And some of our greatest thinkers in America have come up with many plans to help people, and they aren't the ones that most of the time government comes up with. And then if you look at it from the English Standard Version, insight. Okay, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Don't forget. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Get understanding. Don't forget. And get insight. You can't help somebody, and as I've often said, and it's worth repeating over and over again, most people don't care what you know until they know how much you care. And that is not easy. I have not stood against abortion, false religions, aberrant sexual behavior, and a variety of such things because I'm hateful. Actually, if I was hateful, I would say nothing. I would do nothing, knowing that what's the end of these people anyway? The Bible tells us what the end of evil is. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. I've had 2 calls with prominent people this week, one a doctor, one a pastor, that are both very discouraged, very disappointed, very down, very ready to pull a sheet over their heads, so to speak, and hide. And believe me, I'm not criticizing them for that. I understand the feeling. But I told them both, you think we're losing. We're not losing. The only time we lose is when we don't take the field. When we don't stand our ground. We don't stand up and shout. And I'm not saying raise your voice, be angry or anything like that. When I say shout, meaning make it firmly known that the word of God is true for me and for you, for all of us. Whether you believe it or not, it is. And so the loving thing to do is to warn people. And I have warned them. Now, after I've warned them, Ezekiel 33:3, if you read that whole chapter, after I have warned them and they choose not to recognize the warning, and it's not because of me. I mean, it's not like saying, okay, listen, Garrett Lear is warning you. No, I don't say that. I read to them from the Word of God and from history and so forth. They get the warning from the Lord. I'm just a mouthpiece. I didn't invent the warning, so to speak. I just know the button to push. And so after I have done that, and they choose to continue on in their wicked ways, their evil ways, their abominable ways, their perverse ways, what happens to them is on their own head. Their blood is on their own hands. And I honestly do not take pleasure in saying that or thinking that. That's not the attitude the Lord wants us to have. We have compassion. We have empathy for people that are in these things, because many of them have been sold a bill of goods. They've been lied to. We're all getting lied to in one way or another. That's why the Lord tells us, exhorts us, and remember that as we're reading these scriptures, it's as if God our Father is saying to us as his sons and his daughters, get wisdom. Get understanding. I've provided it. I've taught you. I've shown you where it is. It's there for you to have it. It's like saying the gleaning. Now, the gleaning was an actual thing. A field was picked and harvested by the owner of the field. But he was exhorted in the Lord to leave the outer parts of the field untouched, so that poor people could go and glean. They could go and get some food for themselves. Now you notice that the way the Lord set that up was, you've got to get off your fanny if you can. Now if you can't, somebody else will have to do it for you. But if you can, you need to go out and pick some of those corn cobs. You need to pick some of those fruits, because you have the opportunity to glean. So the Lord has provided many ways for people to get what they need out there, but many people are not using what the Lord has provided. And he said to us, take no pleasure when you see the destruction of the wicked. Take no pleasure in seeing the abominations that come upon those that live an abominable life. And I don't. I'll tell you the pleasure I get. Is seeing somebody who's lived a wicked life turn to the Lord. And the first time I began to really experience that was when I was that wicked person doing abominable things, sinful things, wicked things, evil things. And I turned away from those things. And it was like I got on the path of the righteous. It's like the light of dawn. I said to somebody yesterday in a little text back and forth, oh, you're admitting all the wrong that you've done. That's great. That's called confessing. It's called repenting. And you're turning away from those things. which is great because you saw the light and you felt the heat. When I got saved a long time ago, I saw the light of Christ. I felt the heat of Christ too. And honestly, as God is my witness, he said to me, "You're either going to come to me fully, or I'm going to withdraw my hand of support for you." And he scared me straight. And I hope I am doing the same thing to you if you're listening to this message today, remotely, that you're going to get wisdom. You're going to get understanding. You're going to get understanding and wisdom. And you're going to get insight. And you're not going to forget. Jesus loves you and he's provided these things for you. You're going to accept your bar mitzvah, your bat mitzvah, and take responsibility for your life and put your life in the hands of the one that made you. Jesus made you. Because we are created in God's image. Every one of us. All lives matter. And this I pray in the only name that we should be praying in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Don't forget.